Oh, Father, we confess our sins. We come in the name of Jesus by the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, help us to pray. And so, Father, again, it's a privilege, a great honor. Indeed it is, once again, to stand here before you, before your brother, before your people, and, Lord, to bring this word again today. Father, I want to thank you for the honor you give me to stand at this hallowed pulpit. I come, Lord, fully conscious and aware of my inabilities, my limitations in myself, because of the mind that is yet to be fully renewed by the power of the Spirit, both to teach and to deliver this word, as well as to receive it. And so I come beseeching for fresh mercy. I have absolutely no confidence in my preparation. What I know, what I believe you said to me, all that matters now is for your mercy to be faithful, a steward of this word, which I believe you've given unto me to preach to people tonight. As I speak, Lord, let my mouth, my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. As I speak, Lord, let there be a free flow of your word from you through me to the people without any hindrance, so that, Lord, the word will now go forth in great accuracy, great power, and great simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, causing an eternal work to be wrought in the hearts and lives of all men to hear this word, hear, myself included, and all those that hear it remotely by electronic means, so that wherever this word goes in all the earth, it will bring forth the precious fruit that it was designed to bring forth in the lives of people. It will not be hearers only, but also be doers of the word in the name of Jesus. And I should help me, Lord, to be concise. Help me to be precise. I will not say anything unnecessary. So I will bring forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, that our minds be more enlightened by the revelation of your word, our wills be more submitted, humble and submitted to your will, O Lord, and our emotions be controlled and tempered even more by the power of this fruit of the Spirit, especially love, in the name of Jesus. I further ask for mercy to be a faithful steward. I now duck under the anointing of my fathers. I humble myself under their anointings. And I ask you to help me to bring forth this word, to preach and teach and deliver this word as they would were they here personally. And Lord, as a drink of the river of life that flows forth from the rendition of this word, that Lord God, they will be truly, truly, abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you will not lie to David. You will not alter your word that has gone forth out of your mouth. Faithful art thou who has promised. You will do more than we can ask or can think. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the book of Esther is an exhortation for us in particular who are destined by God to be the first of the first fruits of those who partake of the anointing without measure. Amen. And that's you and I, folks, by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the grace and mercy of God, by the express design of God the Father. We are destined to be partakers of the first fruits of the anointing, first the borrowed anointing, and then the anointing without measure, in this land from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide. And this word came to me a couple of weeks ago, this month actually. The month is just coming to an end. We're doing that 21-day fast, and this is one of the words that I believe the Lord spoke to my heart, and as I read and meditated upon the book of Esther. The book of Esther is very unique. The book of Esther is full of God, but you will not hear God once mentioned in the book. I think Bob Ralph said that some time ago. But you know, the more you begin to see these things, you begin to read and say, you know, if you want to know how God works in the affairs of men, go and read the book of Esther. You will not see that God did anything. There is no mention of God the Father, the Son, but God is all over. His handwriting is written all over that book. His signature, thank you, signature, that's the word. His signature is over that book tremendously. So when things are happening, or things seem not to be happening, or things aren't going quite your way, or you feel that maybe it could have gone better, just remember that God is in control. He rules in all the affairs of men. And that's what this book of Esther we're talking about from, by the grace of God, extensively tonight. Amen. So as we go into this word tonight, I first want to address a very common human trait, which unless is, first of all, recognized and acknowledged, and then taken care of, and we are warned of, may seek to hinder. It will not hinder in Jesus' name. But it may seek to hinder. And for those who are susceptible, it may actually, trip that person up. And it will not happen to us in Jesus' name. may hinder us from the fullness of what God has planned for us individually as well as the Zion Church. Amen. And this tendency is one that is common to all human beings, definitely because of the sin nature. And we all have this tendency, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it's there. But it can be controlled. Amen. By the power of the Spirit. Amen. So you don't have to worry about it. But the essence is this. Most human beings, if not every single one of us, tend to become complacent and to relax when everything is going so well. You know, we were talking about affliction the other day. Sometimes God brings affliction, Egba, to get you to come out of that relaxation, that mode. You know, it is everything goes well. You know, you think that your prayers are working and everything's just going, like they say in America, hunky-dory. It's all good. Amen. God is good, you know. And then gradually, ever so imperceptibly, you just begin to slip back and begin to kind of just take things a little bit easier because things are going well. Hello, somebody. I'm sure that's nobody in this whole house or anybody that's listening. It's a common human trait. When God is showing himself mighty on your behalf, you know, you tend to say, praise the Lord. It means God is reigning. God is in control. God is reigning. So we all have to enter this comfort zone where we feel we are familiar with God and everything is going just fine. Look what happened to David. Hello, somebody. It just came to my mind. What happened to David? David just felt comfortable. He's been king for so long. Me and God. Hello? Nobody has said that here. We talk to God. Yeah, we and God. We are friends with God now. And he was. The strange thing is that he actually was God's friend. But he says, I found in David a son, and the son of Jesse, not after my own heart, who will do all of my will. So he had a basis for saying what he had. But we know the end story of that time of that season of comfort, that season of relaxation. That is when kings ought to be in battle. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But it's a tendency all of us have. Amen. When things are going so well, you looked around, you saw the whole of Israel. Everything was fine. The palace was fine. Nobody was disturbing him. Peace all around about. God had established him in peace. Had established him in the kingdom. And then he got a little bit too comfortable. Hello? Hello? Everybody's listening like, where is Pastor Wigger taking this? Taking you to a place where you will not be too comfortable. Amen. Case in point, another case in point. And this one is even more recent. Well, not so recent in the sense that, you know, it's later on in history, but it also ties in with what is coming. And that's the case of Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Give me Luke chapter 9, 28, somebody. Here we see the Apostle Peter. Thank God for Peter. I love Peter. Peter is like many of us. But thank you, only one person. Anybody wants to be like Peter? You can be like Peter. So Peter made it, amen? He wrote a perfection epistle. Which one you don't write? Hello? Hello. I say Peter, everybody kept quiet. You don't want to be like Peter. Everybody likes like John. Peter was a man of light passions like you and I. That's why it's in the Bible, to show you that you make it, amen? At least he wrote the Bible. How many Bibles have you written? How many epistles have you written? So Peter is a good example, amen? What is it? It came to pass about 8 days after these things that the Lord took Peter and John and James, went up to a mountain to pray. Next verse. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Next verse. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Next verse. And he appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which is accomplished at Jerusalem. Nice place to be. Amen? Now, give me verse 32. Yeah, this verse. But Peter, thank God for Peter, and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Who said they weren't feeling comfortable? They were so comfortable. Now, you imagine that when things like this are happening, you know, you're going to be, man. But they saw the glory and they started to sleep. You will not sleep when you see the glory in Jesus' name. Folks, this is a serious matter. They saw his glory. They were heavy sleep when they were awake. They saw his glory and two men that stood with him. They were so comfortable with Jesus, they were sleeping. When they woke up, they just saw the glory. And the next thing Peter said, Jesus, Master, It is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and for not me what he said. But you see, the essence there is that he was so comfortable when he saw the glory. He said, it's a nice place to be. Let's just chill here, man. Let's just camp here for a while. Make a tabernacle, make a booth. We'll enjoy this glory and just have a party all by ourselves. When the glory comes, you will not do like this. You will not be comfortable. They were so comfortable sleeping already because they were with Jesus. Now, when you're with Jesus, it's true you're under covering, you're under glory, but you're not supposed to sleep off. Hello? Hello? And it's not until you can control the waves and the sea by your word. Amen? Then you can sleep. Amen? We also talk about Israelites. Talk about Babylon. The Israelites were carried away to Babylon. They didn't want to go back. Hello? I don't remember. When Cyrus opened the door, was it all of them that went back? No. Because, you see, Babylon, they were not suffering. They had houses. They had planted vineyards. Their children had been married off. So, the temple, God's purpose, the rebuilding of the temple seemed like a distraction. Why? Because they were comfortable. Hold on, children, I'll be by. Say, we now uproot everything. And we now carry ourselves with all our load. Okay, we'll do it, but wait. We'll see. Hello? Babylon was not a place of suffering. Now, they were away from God's purpose, but they were comfortable out of God's will. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. We're giving you, examples of how easy it is for you to slip out away from purpose and begin to get in a comfort zone. And you, even though you might be, quote unquote, in God's will, you may not be in His purpose. The Bible says the acceptable, there's a good, there's the acceptable, and then there's the perfect. Which one do you want? And you got to remain alert always. Amen. Even the children of Israel, they all felt the daily habit, daily doing, daily this, daily that, in the wilderness. They kept roaming around before, afterwards, even in Zion, hello, it can happen. Thank you. Amos 6:1. Even in Zion, that's what we're preaching. We're all in Zion. Whoa! To them. That I ease in Zion and trust in mountains of Samaria and name that. The essence is this. Don't trust in mountains of Samaria. Don't let yourself go so greatly that even though you are in the way, you are not backsliding. You are not giving up. I mean, David was in God. He was still king. He was still, with God. But he was in the wrong place at the wrong time because he had chosen to take it easy. You will not take it easy. Now, God will make you have peace. But you see, that peace is not to take you away from His purpose. It's not to get you to a point where your cutting edge is so blunt and you don't even know what God is doing anymore. Amen? There's a job out there to be done. Amen? And so this is it. Even in Zion, it can happen. And the thing is this, and this is what the Lord was sharing with me. He gave me this word, and I said, why is this important? He says, the glory that is coming in this day, we're talking about it on Sunday. He said, it's so great and so powerful. It's so awesome. It is so awesome. The Bible says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. He said, even in the glory of the former house, and this is what he pointed out to me, even the glory of the former house, where the apostles saw the glory of God, they saw the earnest of the Spirit, began to see miracles happen left, right, and center. They began to, raise the dead, began to, heal the lepers and all these wonderful things that happened. You know what they did? They sat on it 20 years before God raised Paul. Sat on it. That was the glory of the latter house, of the former house. Until God sent persecution to scatter them. Give me Acts chapter 8 verse 4 quickly. Acts 8 verse 4. We're laying a background for what we're going to say today. Acts 8:4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. Why didn't they do this before they were scattered? Why did it take persecution to scatter them out of Jerusalem? God had to take. Hello, somebody. Wake up! A Like when Peter was sleeping in the prison, angel came and Paul smacked him on the bum, or wherever he smacked him anyway. Smacked him on the side. That's what God did. So, as this glory appears, we must never forget that the gospel of the kingdom has a scope that goes beyond Judea and Jerusalem. Every one of us has Jerusalem. Every one of us has Judea, but there's still Samaria. Then they're the uttermost parts of the earth. And for us to get comfortable in our own Jerusalem and Judea, God doesn't want that. Amen? The gospel is to be preached to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that gospel must be preached to all nations for a witness. Never forget. That's the Great Commission. And also I was preaching the gospel, like we saw in Matthew the other day. You're supposed to make disciples of all nations and teach them. Hello, somebody. So you can't get too comfortable. That's why in this church there's no permanent seat. There's no Baba Ijoh that has cornered a seat in the front of the church. Everybody, your seats are movable. In other words, somebody, if you're not here, somebody has to come and occupy it. In fact, many of you, like Pastor has already said, we're all going out there. Everybody's looking at me. I'm going to go out there. Boots on the ground, like I said on Sunday. God wants boots on the ground. That's how we're going to get the job done. So the issue of the comfort zone should never even arise. Amen? It should not arise. So we all, at one level or the other, even as we speak here, some people are in a comfort zone. I mean, that's why the Lord has been preaching. Even as we're here, as we're all here, some people have entered into a place where they feel that, how did they arrive? You will never arrive in Christ. Because God stretches from eternity unto eternity. So you are always traveling with God. Except you choose not to move on. Paul said, forgetting the things past, you press into the things that are before. There will always be things for you to forget behind, and there will always be something for you to press onto in God. God is always unfolding, always unfolding, always unfolding. So tell your neighbor, no comfort zone. Particularly when this glory comes. Because it's going to take the fullness of the Christ anointing to preach that gospel and disciple the nations. Amen? Say amen, somebody. So we welcome and we thank God for all these things that we're going to do, the borrowed anointing, but we must not. Oh, the borrowed anointing is very good, very powerful. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cleanse the lepers. You will raise the dead. You raise the dead. Can you imagine? And still, it's not enough. You don't believe me. Okay. The point is that we cannot afford to be satisfied until we press on to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Only the full anointing is going to do the full work of the Great Commission. That's just the truth. Only one person said amen. Well, okay. So, Pastor, what do you mean with all this? Why are you saying all this? Well, the Lord showed me this for the book of Esther. And when I show you too, you will see what God is saying. And I believe the Lord will help all of us to sit up a little bit and say, so it is. Amen. And we're going to, from now on, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to put up our prophetic cap. Everybody put on your prophetic cap. Everybody look at me first. I say, put on your prophetic cap. Touch your head. And fit it well so that we need that water. All right, everybody's got their prophetic cap on now. Alright, here we go. So we're going to be talking prophetically now, so please put on prophetic cap. So when I speak, and then, I'll try and interpret as the Lord helps. We're going to be talking with the book of Esther. Now Esther in particular is highly significant to us, particularly at this time when we're fighting the battle for Nigeria. And by the grace of God, the Lord has given through our fathers, great insights into what's going on through the book of Esther. And we begin to see, we have seen divine strategies, divine schemes whereby we will finish the devil and win this battle for our nation, Nigeria, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to start in this marvelous book of Esther. I recommend it to anybody who's looking to find out how God works in the annals of men. Amen. We're going to start from Esther chapter 3, where we begin to see Haman, a type of the enemy of the Jews. Amen. Satan, really. And all his courts begin to cast enchantments, what we call casting the lot or casting pearl. There actually is a feast of the Jews called the Feast of Purim. I can't remember when it takes place. I used to know about it when we were in New York. There was always that feast. I think called it Hanukkah or something like that. And there's a feast dedicated to what happened in this book of Esther. So we know Esther is a real account. Because it's actually a feast of Purim. Every year. Every single year. Anyway, so we see the Jews. See the enemy of the Jews, Satan. Or Haman rather. Which Satan. You see, Satan is the instigator. But the vehicle is Haman. So Haman and Satan are interchangeable. Amen? That's why it's prophetic, okay? Begin to use enchantment divination. The Bible says he was going from day to day to these diviners to find out a time to perform this satanic act. And what it was actually was genocide. Give me Esther chapter 3 in verse 7. Actually, what happened was this. Of course, we know the story, or should know the story. There was a Jew in the gates of the king who refused to bow to him. He had so much, he thought himself so fantastic and so important. So this Jew refused to bow to him because the Bible says you not worship anybody but the Lord your God. So Mordecai just said he wasn't going to bow, period. And he didn't bow, period. Now this guy, can you imagine the kind of satanic instigation this guy was on, this influence was under? This guy said, well, I'm not going to deal with Mordecai alone. I could take him and kill him, which he could have. But I'm going to take every single Jew in the entire kingdom of the king. Every one of them. He was going to kill, I don't know how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews because of one man's transgression. See the kind of satanic, this is full demonic power at work. And look, I was about to execute it, but God is greater than him. Esther chapter 3 verse 7, give me this. Give me the Amplified. This is the KJV. Give me the Amplified. In the first month, the month of Nisan. Now, you should pay attention to the first month. That's very significant. In the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Haman caused Pur, that is lots, to be cast before him day after day to find a lucky day for his venture, month after month, until the 12th month. This guy wasn't just, he wasn't taking any prisoners. He was going for the full thing. And I've only told. I mean, for a person to be spending 12 months looking for a day when he could do his thing and kill everybody that was Jewish. I mean, that's satanic. That is the devil. And he said he was doing this day by day until he now arrived at a particular date. Amen. This is the first month in the month of Nisan. Then we all know what happened. He now goes to the king. And it worked. What he had been doing worked. Enchantment is work, you know. That's why you have to have a greater power. Thank God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because enchantment works. Hello, somebody. That's what you don't have to tell anybody in this country. 12 months just planning, just looking for a time to fulfill what he wanted to do. But we know what happened. So he goes to the king and he says, he asks the king, by this time, you know, when he was speaking, he wasn't just speaking natural words. He was speaking words fueled by demonic power. And guess what? It had an effect on the king too. They didn't even ask him why. You know, I would have thought a person in authority. I think when you begin to read the book with depth, you begin to say, why didn't the king say why? Oh, did they? Wow. I mean, in our language, he's bound the king by his enchantment. So when he was talking, he knew that, forgive me, I'm going to use African magic. You know this thing that they hold to their mouth, and I'll talk to, say what's up, I didn't even know that. You're the one that knows it. Okay, you're the one. You put it over and you talk, and then you put it back in your wardrobe, and then you go and meet the person. And then you say it from top to bottom, the guy just accepts. That's what he was doing. And he didn't ask why, he said, okay, fine, all right. You want it? Okay. Now he says something that even blows my mind. You know, Haman was such, the guy was walking with the serious demonic power. I don't know whether he even did it to even test it. He said, okay, king, I want to pay 10,000 talents to the people that are going to kill all these Jews. And I want to pay it into your treasury. You know what the king says? Don't worry. I'll give you the 10,000 talents. Take. Just take my ring. You don't believe it. Yeah, says, I will pay 10,000 talents into the hands of those of it that have been brought in the king's treasury. Give me the next verse. Give me the next verse. And the king took his signet from his hand, with which to seal his letters by the king's authority, and gave it to Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. Next verse. And the king said, Haman, the silver is giving you. He wanted to pay to do it. The king said, I will give you the silver. You take just the dog band. Can you imagine? Giving us wine. The silver is given to you to do with them as it seems good to you. And he gave him a signal of authority. 12 months of casting pearl. Gives his authority, the divination worked tremendously. And so Haman wrote the letters and sealed it with the king's ring. In other words, he had the king's authority. When did this happen? Give me, I'm building up a story. Give me verse 12 on this. You need to get this. This is very important. And the king, give me in the KJV, because I wrote it in the KJV. It was the same thing, actually. Then when the king's scribe called on the what? Come on, guys. Then when the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the 13th day of the first month. Others are going to say 13 is an unlucky number. Actually, 13 is the number of rebellion. That's true. Rebellion, backsliding, you know, apostasy. That's what it is. But it says the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people, of every province, according to the writing thereof, to every people after the language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Complete and total destruction of the Jews. 13th day. Now, make sure you hold of that word. That is the 13th day of the first month. We're going to see what that means later on. I used to think that all these things that happened in the book of Esther all happened at once. Not so. So this is the 13th day. Now, what I found out as I began to read this, and the Lord was, you know, opening my heart to see this, was that all these things that we're talking about happened over a period of 3 months. It wasn't 1 month. It was a 3 month period. I used to think it was just blah, 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 blah. Not so. So it took 3 months for this whole stuff to play out. And that tallies with what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, 32. It says, the first and second day I cast out devils and did cures. And on the third day, I shall be perfected. The Jews were perfected on the third day. Hallelujah. Then God also showed us that 3 months. This is going to amaze you. 3 months is also the time of Trinity to release a blessing. Hello, somebody. I remember a guy by the name of Obed Edom. Give me Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 3 months is God's number for the Trinity at work. The Bible talks about working in excellence. Look what it says. The ark of the Lord continued the house of Edom, the Gittite. How many months? How many months? And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. So, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. In the 3 months that they took this thing to take place, God blessed Obed-Edom and his household. Obed-Edom was a Jew. Okay, all right. Anyway, let's continue. So that's it. So 3 months, very important. This is highly important. We'll see why as we go on. Now, so we see this. Now, so God turned the captive of the Jews and gave them victory in 3 months. Amen. The Lord will give us victory in the first 3 months of this year in Jesus' name. Whew. January, February, March. By the end of March, we'll have the victory. Glory to God. That's what I said. The Lord, how did the glory was there? The ark of the Lord was there. And that's where God blessed the house of Obed-Edom and Obed-Edom himself. So not only will you be blessed, the whole house.
Amen.
So the stage is now set for the Jews to be killed on the 13th day of the 12th month. Amen. And we're talking from now, this is the first day of the first month. So the decree was written on the first day, on the 13th day of the first month, to be killed 1 year later. But God was good. Because you see, Mordecai heard this, sent to Esther, and Esther did what we call a 3-day fast. Esther 4:16. This was not an ordinary fast. This is a fast for deliverance. Hello, somebody. Esther 4:16. Go ye and gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And now they eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I remember the day we did this fast. Hey! When we called an Esther fast, I will never forget it in my entire life. I will not say what just came to my mind just now. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In this round too. In Jesus. Even I'm ready. I'm willing. God! My mouth was hanging down. Somebody will come and say, go. No talk. You won't even want to talk. What is that to say? You haven't drunk water for 3 days. And even though the water came in accidentally, you know, when you are brushing your teeth. Yeah, you know you are brushing your teeth. You can't brush dry now. At least you... Where's the fast for deliverance? Amen. No water, no food. For 3 whole days. Okay. And it's mercy. It's mercy. It's mercy. For God is good. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Maybe more will call it 3 day fast like that. I don't know. Say amen, somebody. You can do all things. Huh? Get you out of your comfort zone. Out of your comfort zone. Eh? And lose somebody. Okay. So there's a 3 day fast. Now, and so they all fast, and you know, we know what happens. Now, where I'm going is Esther chapter 5. Give me Esther chapter 5. We're in verse 1. This is where the story begins, and this is where the message itself actually begins. Thank you, Lord. Esther 5:1. He says, on the third day, it came to pass on the third day. What's that? The day of perfection. So this is the beginning of the perfection of the blessing of Esther and the Jews. Amen. The third day, of course, it talks about Esther. Of course, we all know is a type of the church. Amen. Amen. I cast out devils and deep curse. The third day I shall be fresh. So Esther is a type of the bride of Christ who goes into the king on the third day when she's perfect. Now, the Bible says the king, and it says the king, Esther put on her royal apparel. Now, you may think that is all the clothes that she wore. This is physical. When you're talking about royal apparel, it's talking about the apparel that the king, the queen, wore in the presence of God. Give me Psalm 45, somebody. Psalm 45. Psalm 45 in verse 9. Hallelujah. We're picking things out that, you know, give us an idea of what God is saying. King's daughter among thy honorable men, and upon thy right hand is stand what? The queen in what? The gold of Ophir. Gold there represents the character of God. So when Esther appeared in her royal apparel, the gold of Ophir, what they were saying is that she was clothed in God's character and likeness. Oh, glory to God. That's where we're going, folks. And said, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne, in the royal house, over the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. It wasn't her beauty. It wasn't her fine. She was beautiful. Esther was a beautiful maid, definitely. Physically, I'm talking about. But what made the king stretch out his golden scepter was the fact that in the spirit, she was clothed in the glory of God, the character of God. And that's how he found favor. Hello, somebody. Favor after 3 days of fasting and prayer. The Bible says, I humbled my soul with fasting. So when she came there, she was fasted up, and the favor of God was upon her because she had spent those 3 days humbling herself. So you can say another way, another thing, that she was also clothed with humility. An ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. That's how we're going to get into the holiest of all, folks. That's how God even stretched out the scepter, the golden scepter to you. And that scepter that is golden is not just any scepter. Thank God for the scepter the king was holding, but it goes beyond what he was. That golden scepter is a scepter that God uses to rule his kingdom. Again, Psalm 45. Where is it? Psalm 45. Give me Psalm 45. I can't remember the verse where it talks about, you know, the scepter of thy kingdom. Go back up a bit. The scepter of righteousness. Hello, somebody. Are we following? We're talking prophetically of prophetic capsule. It says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Scepter of righteousness. Amen. So the king sees Esther, the church, standing in the holy court, clothed in gold, the character of God, bathed in humility and a meek and a quiet spirit. And she receives favor. Favor is given always to the humble. The Bible says, a humble and a contrite spirit, O Lord, thou shalt not despise. So he had respect to her because she came in her glory, in his glory upon her. Aye! Glory to God. Anyway, so she finds favor. And the king stretches out the golden scepter to her. Because she was beautiful. Now, when the golden scepter was stretched out towards her, this is what the king says to her. And this is the key right here. Verse 3. Esther 5, verse 3. The golden scepter is now, so Esther drew it and touched. You know, she touched the top of the scepter. She made a connection between the dominion, the scepter that was to have dominion in the kingdom. She didn't just go there. She touched the golden scepter. Which means that she and the queen together were holding the scepter. Unity. An extension of the king. Extension of the Godhead. Are you getting all this? But the way I'm going for today is this. No, give me verse 3. Give me verse 3. Esther 5, 3. Then the king. Let's read it together, folks. We've been silent too long. We're going to start talking now. I've been doing all the reading. You're going to help me. Oh, yeah. Then the king said unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? Asking, what do you want? What do you want? Now, Shakabara, something occurred to me here which I need to mention. When Haman went into the king didn't ask him, what do you want? It was Haman that was spewing out the offer, the power of enchantment. But here, God does his own differently. God doesn't override. He got the king to ask Esther, what do you want? Which tells you the power that they had generated in that prayer had overcome the influence of Satan, of Haman and Satan upon the king. God had taken control. And not only did he do that, look what the king said, which is the key. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? We're not reading together. So then said the king, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It, whatever the request is, shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Now, first thing I want to show here is this. First thing I want to show here is this, that it took 12 months of enchantment, of casting divination, for Haman to get his result. To get the king to give him authority. Now, this is 3 days. Power past power. Abareshuda. Nibitijes. 3 days of fasting. Can you see what happens? When the saints of God get together and fast and pray and seek the face of the Lord? 3 days of fasting and prayer. Nullified 12 months of satanic incantation and casting pearl. Reverse it totally. Ha! What's the ratio there? 1 year, 3 days. About Shay Mathematics, Pastor Ibrahim. What's the ratio? 1 to 120. Can you imagine? What? Oh, the Bible says greater is he that is in you that's in the world. Except you don't know it. Most Christians don't know what they have. 3 days. 3 days. Quit work. Thank you. The power of 12 months of divination was broken. Jesus said, he said, this kind cometh not out by fasting and prayer. Amen. This is a fast that I have chosen. To loose the heavy burdens. To break the bands of wickedness. To let the oppressed go free. And to break every yoke. Amen. The Bible says, James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth not, making tremendous power available. But do we know it? Dynamic in its working. There are diversities of workings. But do we know it? Hey, say, come on, fast. You know, we need to know who we are. That's the essence, one of the essences of this. We need to know what power God has given unto us. He says, I've given you all authority, not part. We'll get to that later. Oh, glory to God. Never be afraid of fasting again. See, what is it? 3 days of fasting, 12 months of work by the devil. Amen. But the point I'm going here is this. And this is where, help me, Lord. I'm enjoying myself. Help me, Lord, to be concise. In Jesus' name. Look at this. Verse 3 says, it shall be given to thee even to the half of the kingdom. Now, remember this. The scripture does not just use word for word's sake. The king said, half the kingdom. There's a reason why. It says, up to the half of the kingdom, you're going to have. Each word in its place has a meaning, and only the Holy Spirit can reveal it. Why not two-thirds of the kingdom? Why not one quarter of the kingdom? Why not just say, what is thy request? Hello? This was inspired by the Spirit. Why say half of the kingdom if that half of the kingdom was not significant? Have you thought about that? It hit me like a truck when mom was you know, making that word. I said, I read it over and over, but just came back. Boom! And I said, ah! And I know God doesn't just use words. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's go forward. So now, here's the thing. Oh, help me, Lord. I've always assumed that Queen Esther made petition only once. I mean, that's why, you know, sometimes you read the Bible, you just read it the way you want to read it. Just read it in Jorujara. And the pastor says, we always assume everything happened in an hour or two, because that's how long it took you to read the book of Esther. Everything was over in 1 hour. Phew. No. Like we saw, 3 months. And I always assumed that Esther went only once. But it was as mama was prophesying on one of these days we were doing the fasting prayer, it actually, she you know, made a reference and prophesied from that part that showed that Esther actually petitioned the king twice. Witness. I said, God blessed the house of Obed. He blessed Obed-Edom and all the house of Obed-Edom. Two is the number of God's witness. Anyway, let's get back. Now, question is this. What was the result of Esther's first petition? Give me Esther chapter 7. Hello, somebody. We'll go to chapter 7. I'm trying to bounce a little bit around. Esther 7, chapter 7. Let's see. Yes. Verse 1. Okay, Esther chapter 7, verse 1. So the king, now this is a request that when she was making the request to Haman, to the king, when Haman and the king came to the banquet. Verse 1. Esther chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. Verse 2. I love this. And the king said again. You know that king who first said, you know, this is God. A whole king, this was not just any king. He was a highly wicked man. He was wicked. Why would he decide to do it with all the Jews? He could even tell. He was a highly wicked man. He controlled 120 provinces from India all the way to Euphrates. That is practically the whole world at that time. He wasn't even small. But he was chasing a Jewish girl. Around the Kilo Fese. Uncommon favor. When kings need to chase you to do you favor. God says, I will give men for your life. Amen? Say, what do you want, Esther? Verse 1. Verse 8, the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted to thee. What is thy request? And the king was heavy laden. He wanted to do what Esther wanted. Hey! That's what God is going to do to your own. Amen. They'll be chasing, they won't know why they're chasing. I've seen it happen with Pastor Mommy. Mommy will go so and somebody will just be there and say, I don't know what God told me, but I have to help these people. Okay, how do I help you? What do you want? Right as it seems next to you. And people they don't know will be running over, falling on themselves to do them good. Because the favor of the king is upon them. We're going to see these things. It's going to be even more and more apparent in this day we're going to. And so Esther said, this is the result of the first petition. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, which she had, O king, and if it pleased the king, of course it pleased the king, he's been asking what you want, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. So here is Esther asking for her life and the life of her people at her request. Now we know the story. The king gets Haman tries to the king gets you know steps out and Haman tries to beg Queen Esther because he knows that I'm in serious trouble here. But what happens? The king comes in and finds the man all over Esther's bed and he says, he's not even afraid of me. He's not going to force my wife in front of me. So as soon as he was saying, he went, oh, my God, I said, end of story. That's when his life finished. So the son saw the son no more. And so what happened? We say that in verse 10. So they hand Haman on the gallows. He had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's word pacified. So what happens? Haman was hanging on the gallows and that was prepared for Mordecai the king. So all those that brought, tried to bring evil against the church, God will return the evil back on their head. And what they had meant for evil for the church, they will fall and God will turn it back upon themselves. Don't be afraid. This time, we're going to this with, you know, with the glory of God and the favor of God, like never before, unprecedented. That's why I know we are victorious in Nigeria already. All these things that they mean for evil for us, we will pray, but God is already in control. God has already taken control. And he will turn all this evil back on the heads of all those who are planning against evil against us, against this nation. So, Haman was hanged on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Now, Esther chapter 8. This is the result of the first petition. On that day, verse 1. Esther 8:1. Are we following? On that day, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, to Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what she was unto him. Verse 2 is where we're going. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman. He took the authority back from Haman and gave it to Esther. No, he didn't give it to Esther. Okay, he said he gave it to him. But what, look what happened. It was to him. Look what it says. It says, king took off his ring and gave it to him, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther, who did he give the house to? Who did he give Haman's house to? Esther. Okay. So Esther was the one who legally had authority over the house. The ring to execute authority was given to Haman. But if Esther, what it says Esther certified, where is it now? Where is it? And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. What are we talking about? The authority, God gave the thing to the church. But you know, the church has a covering. Each individual local church has a covering. And so what Esther did was that she does what she's been doing all along. She just ducked under the covering of Haman. Sorry. Mordecai, forgive me. She just ducked under the covering of Mordecai. Everything in Haman's house was given to Esther. But God says she certified and set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Fine girl, lovely girl. She had the authority to say, no. God, give me that ring. She had the authority. She could have said to Haman, to Mordecai, okay, you got the ring, but I have the authority. I'm the one it was given to. But she didn't do that. Because all the since from beginning, she had always made a habit of being under covering. Everything she did in that court was under the covering of Mordecai. So when the dividends came, and the king gave her the house of Haman, and the authority was upon her, when they gave him, she could have argued and said, no, no king, give it to me. She had said no. But she said, go ahead, give it to him. And then she now set him over the house of Haman, because she was not going to be ruling without his authority. Amen. And this reminds me of something. It reminds me, first of all, about the Lord Jesus himself. After the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, when he has put down all rebellion in the earth. Now, the Lord Jesus has authority, does he not? Was he not the one given a name that is above every other? Was he not? Everything that happens in creation happens because of that name. But that name was given. So what happens when he now puts down all rebellion? Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where it says that. Pastor Brian, give me that verse. Where it says that now he's going to now give everything back to God the Father so that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where is that scripture? Let me look for it. Folks, what am I trying to get at? We need to understand that nothing that we get from God is done without the covering of our Father. You ain't going to get it. Without acknowledging your Father. Without giving authority to your Father. All right. Acknowledge the authority of the Father. Where is that? Give me that 1 Corinthians. Verse 20. Okay, yeah. And when all things, yeah, verse 28. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is exactly what he was doing. It's very important that God gives us this understanding, because you see, there's a lot of stuff that we will not miss, just that many people miss because they refuse to honor the fathers. Where would Esther be if Mordecai did not take her up as his daughter? When she was a baby, the Bible says her father and mother died, and she took him up, or he took her up as his own daughter, and trained her. What would have happened if he hadn't done that? Would she be anywhere to now be a queen, talk less of having, you know, the whole house of him? No. Say to the Lord Jesus, when Lord Jesus was in the womb of Mary, who was looking after him? When he came to earth as a man, although anointed by the Spirit, but all those years in Nazareth, when nobody except the devil knew who he was, who was looking after him? Who cared for him day after day after day? Hello. When he went to the grave, who made sure he came back out? Did he do all did he all by himself, Abby? When does he say, thou wilt not leave thy Holy One in hell, nor suffer thy Holy One to suffer corruption? Why? Because he knew that he was under covering. So when the time came for the kingdom, the whole kingdom to be given to him, he said, no. There's a man, there's somebody else who's above. And he submits everything. That's exactly what this girl did too. The time came for her to be lord over the whole house of Haman. And she said, no, my father's going to take it. Doctrine of anointing. May we remember this in our own days in Jesus' name. That's the truth. Very important. Honor thy father and mother, the Bible says, that it may be well with thee. So he certified. Honored Mordecai, just like Jesus honored the father. And you honored first in your heart. And then with the dividends of your association as you duck under your father's covering. Amen. Now, Esther chapter 8, verse 3. This is what I didn't see before. Look what it says. And you'll now appreciate what I said. Esther spake yet again. Hello, somebody. Now, you have to say, is this Esther? What more does she want? What else does she want? Notice that this first time, all that she got was the house of Haman. Everything she got up until now was the house of Haman. But, thank God, Esther was not selfish. She was safe. Everything that was troubling her was over. And all the Jews in Shushan, it was over. Because Haman was dead. But there was so far much more to do, to be done. Look what it says. It says he went and spoke to her again. And fell down at his feet and besought him in tears to put away the mystery of him and the other that, and a device that he had devised not against herself, but now against the Jews. In other words, her focus was no more personal. Her focus was now global. Hello, somebody. The first petition was granted and it was given her her life. But now she was saying, it's not only me. I'm not the only Jew. All the people in the Shushan Palace are not the only Jews. There's a whole 120 provinces full of Jews. The whole world out there. That Haman has devised a decree against. So she went before the king. I said, yet again. That was not the first time. Fell down at his feet and taught him, put away the mischief of Haman. Talks about the mischief of Haman. Yeah, yes. And the king, now check this out. Now, this is where the Lord spoke to me. It says, the king held out, what did he do? Held out the golden scepter towards Esther. What did he do the first time also? So this is the second time. Now, this is, they don't say it this time, but the point is, I'm trying to make is this. The golden scepter by which the king rules the kingdom was again, the second time, stretched out towards Esther. Now, it doesn't say here specifically that she rose up and she touched, but let's say for the sake of assumption that she did that. Which means that there were two supplications and both of them were rewarded in exactly the same way. The first one says, I will give you up to the half of my kingdom. What is the kingdom? Answer the question. The kingdom is the total dominion of the Christ nature over your mind, your will, emotions, and your physical body. In other words, the kingdom is a full measure of the anointing of God upon Christ. The spirit without measure. That's the fullness. That's where we're all going. You can't get beyond that. So what is half the kingdom? What's the midway between getting born again and the spirit without measure? When I heard God say this, I said, wow. The earnest will not give you the house of Haman, but the broad anointing will. So when Jesus went, when the Lord stretched out his golden scepter, when the king, the Lord, stretched out the golden scepter the first time and said, I will give you up to half the kingdom, she got the borrowed anointing. And the borrowed anointing gave her the house of Haman and her life. But to get the Jews free, what did I say at the beginning? I said to evangelize and do the work of discipling the nations, you can only do it by the Spirit without measure. So to get the Jews free all over the world, the whole 120 provinces, to release them from the mischief of the devil. Satan is called the adversary. Haman is called the adversary. That's the devil. You need the full anointing. In other words, you have to continue until the anointing is full and complete. And then God will give you all the Jews in every province, all over. Who are the Jews? The people of God. Hello, Jew. Hello, Jew from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. What does Romans say? He says a Jew is not him outwardly, but a Jew is one that is inwardly, in the circumcision of the Spirit. A Jew is one who yearns to do the will of God but cannot do it. Because Haman has got him captive and bound. And he's got to be made free. And who's going to make him free? Esther bringing the full anointing. Amen. So that's it. Very simple. The first anointing will give you the house of Haman. You're going to have victory. You're going to hello somebody. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to cleanse them. You're going to do all that. But that's only the house of Haman. That's only in your own personal life and immediate life, your Jerusalem and your Judea. What about Samaria? What about the uttermost parts of the earth? That will take the full anointing. Double portion. You're going to see the king again. And the king will stretch out the golden scepter And this time he's going to give you the other half, the other portion, the double glory. And then, after the glory, he will send you. So you can't stop. You see, why we say this? Because there's a temptation to stop at the borrowed anointing. The disciples did it. Hello, somebody. And to show you, and to show us that the borrowed anointing cannot do worldwide evangelism. What happened in the glory of the latter? Now, there's a question of timing involved also. But what happened? They went to the utmost parts of the world. They went all over the place. Some people went to Asia. But there was no mass freeing of the Jews, because they still remain in captivity in diaspora. I'm just now talking about Christians and those, you know, not Christians, people who God considers his people. And tell what? Let me tell you, folks. God considers every human being on earth his people. He said, help me, Lord. He said, when he was when he was telling the 70 and the 12, he said, don't go to Samaria. Stay among the lordship of Israel. John 10. Give me John 10. Oh, help me, Lord. People are looking at me funny. John 10. You can't do this work. We cannot, will not be able to do this work with half of the anointing. We need a full kingdom anointing. And I'll show you in a minute from that. What is that? John 10. Where's talking about other sheep I have of this fold? Hello, somebody. Is it on the board yet? John 10 in verse... Yes, 16. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hitherto there's only been two folds, because there's a whole army out there. Pastor talked so many years ago about Ezekiel's army, the Joel's army. We just begin to get to that Joel's portion now. There's a whole army of people there who are God's people, and they have to be liberated. They have to be loosed. They have to be broken loose of satanic opposition. That's why I'm saying on Sunday, all of us are going to go. Because you can't send the full measure of the anointing ahead of you. Yes, you can pray, you can break, but you've got to go there and take charge of what the anointing wrought. You've got to be there when Jairus and Jambres come against you. You've got to be there when they lay down four people who are dead for 4 days before you. And it's not going to be the boy that's going to raise them. No! Chinese and Jabbers will come. You got to see that thing. You got to be there to do it. Then they will say, ha! This is God. This is our God. We have waited for him. But see, borrowed anointing won't do. Look what happened to the apostles. They had the borrowed anointing. They went all over the place. But over a period of time, that anointing began to attenuate because they didn't move from the borrowed. Everything they did in the old order, in the old school, the old church, the former church, rather, not the old church, was done by the borrowed anointing from the Lord Jesus upon them. The essence was to give them a jump start so that they will also now begin to get their own anointings and come into their own and enter the full met. That was the plan. But it failed. No, they failed. Because they go into religion. And that attenuated the power of the Spirit until everything today is religion. Just go to Europe to see what I'm talking about. But see, we must recognize that this golden commission, this great commission that God has given us, cannot be done by anything else and the full measure of the anointing. Can't be done anything else. Any other way. The Bible says this gospel must be preached throughout all the earth for a witness. And go back to Esther, and I want to see something there. This was done, like I said, where is Esther? Esther chapter, oh God, I hope you're getting something out of this. Esther went to, I tell you, it was over a period of 3 months. Second Chronicles, Esther, Jude. All right. Oh glory, help me Lord. Look what it says. Verse chapter 8. Look what it says. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, if I have favor in your sight and be pleasing in your eyes, let it be written to reverse. The pastor was saying the other day, they couldn't overcome the decree that had been written, but they had to reverse it. In other words, the decree would have gone on if Esther had done nothing and sat where she was. All the Jews would have died even though she had half the kingdom. So she had to go back and get the full kingdom power. and lose everybody else. And look when it happened. Verse 7. Esther 8 verse 7 says, then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid hand upon the Jews. Now, verse 8, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name. This is full kingdom. As it liketh you, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. Then King Isaiah said, righteous as you like it, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Now, verse 9. Look what it says. Then were the king's scribe called. When? At that time, when? Where was the first decree written? Where was the first decree written? First month. So, this is 3 months later. So, between the first and the second month, they got a release for the house of him, from the house of Haman. It is in the third month that they now got a release for the Jews. In the third day, I shall be perfected. First and second day, they cast out the devil of Haman and they did cures in their lives. And the third day, they perfected the job by releasing the entire body of Jews in the entire kingdom. What are we saying, folks? Again, this is prophetic time. When Esther fasted and prayed, found favor with the king, and a golden scepter of doing was stretched towards her the first time, God gave her half the kingdom. But with anointing, like he gave the disciples, the 12 and the 70. He said, I'll give you power to tread upon. I've given you power to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, and upon all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, personal deliverance, total freedom, borrowed anointing. And then he said, go not to the house of Samaria. Where is this? Give me that. It's, yeah. He says, go not to the house of Samaria. Don't even extend your reach beyond Judea and Jerusalem. But remember, there are others of this fold that are not now here that I'm going to bring. So take the body. And he went on. Satan was cast down as lightning. It had an effect. The house of Satan, the house of Haman, was given to them. And then they came back rejoicing, saying, even the devils are subject to you in your name. They had victory. They saw Satan fall. But the other house, all those in, they were completely unaffected by the borrowed anointing that was taking place and was being used by the disciples in then Judea and Jerusalem. That was to be for us in this third day. What are we saying, folks? Folks, God is going to give you the kingdom. Bible says, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you not half of the kingdom, but the full kingdom. So, when you get the half, the borrowed anointing, thank God. Use it. Deliver yourself. Deliver your home. Take Satan's house. Haman. Haman's house. God has given Haman's house. But don't ever forget that it's not just to you, but there's a whole household of God out there. He said, all the people of the earth are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. God wants to bring those sheep in. And that's why he's raising you and I up. That's why you cannot afford a comfort zone. Even when all those miracles are happening and breaking out right, left, and center before you, with you, around you, remember, there's a whole world of Jews out there, and somebody got to go get them. That's you and I. You and I, folks. It's me and you. And as many of the Lord, as the Lord helps. So, what were you saying? We say, this brother anointed, thank God for the goodness. It was done. It was so powerful. The Jews sat on it for so long. But God now scattered them. We don't have to wait for scattering. We now have an understanding. And our purpose is to deliver everyone, all the Jews in all the 129 provinces of the king. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, yeah, double portion. Now, there was something I was going to say. What does all this mean for us in particular? Now, given that great commission again, I want to show you something there. Matthew chapter 28, I think I quoted it earlier, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Oh, glory to God. I hope we are getting some. This is not baby preaching. It's not chocolate. It's bones. And you will eat it in Jesus' name. You know the thing about bones? How does a soft tongue break up a bone? You know, I don't use it. I used to watch my mom, God bless her soul, when she was eating bone. You know, as she cracks that bone, she just keeps putting saliva on it. My feet all wet. One day, otherwise, they just break apart. I couldn't understand how she could do that. She would crack them. I saw that she would crack, but you know, the really nice ones, she just be sucking until the bone breaks. That's how it's going to be. You know, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit upon you. You have to tell you, rest yourself. God is going to work through you. That's why the most important thing we can do now is to cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves, so that there's nothing there hindering the power. It will flow. Not taking some part to do some work inside you, everything that God puts in you will come out of you. That's the full anointing. That's what the Lord Jesus did. Said, Satan has nothing in me. And until we get that, the full anointing cannot be. It's a question of trust. What is going to be in you, God has to trust it fully before it downloads the full upon us. I believe with all my heart that some of us in this house are going to get there. We will not be satisfied with it. Thank God for the borrowed anointing. We're not going to be satisfied with that. It's a good thing to have. Oh, yes. But that's not where we're going. We're going to the full kingdom. Now, Matthew chapter, what is that? 28. I want to read the Great Commission. Yes, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He says, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Not half power. Everything. Now, the Lord Jesus in heaven. That all power that he was given is to be downloaded to us, and there must not be any attenuation between the downloading and our receiving and dispensing it. Amen. That is what's going to do the work in the next verse. Verse 19. Go ye, why? Therefore. Therefore means because all power is given to me in heaven and earth. You now go in my name, teaching all nations. That's all the Jews in every province under King Ahasuerus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hello, folks. This is it. This can only be done by the full anointing. I'm prepared to believe that there are some of us here who will not rest. The Bible says, he that has this hope purifies. I want to start with the borrowed anointing. It's good. And I believe with all my heart that I will be part of that. But tell me, folks, according to what I've seen in Esther, the borrowed anointing cannot do the job. It will do the parts of the job, but it will not do everything. The only thing that can do everything is the full anointing. And you'll know why when you go out there. Because when they bring challenges to you, there will be some challenges that borrowed anointing cannot do. That's why I said, don't go to Samaria. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Judea. Here, you're under covering. When you go and extend yourself to where covering doesn't cover you, you're on your own there. I'm just paraphrasing. Amen, folks. So this is it, folks. So we have to keep on beseeching the King for the lives of our fellow brethren, our men all over the earth, and are bound and appointed to death by Satan. How do we do this? By humility, fasting and prayer, perfecting the fullness of Christ, by the blood, the word, and the spirit, so that we can preach the gospel of the kingdom by the fullness of the Spirit without measure to all the earth for a witness, teaching them, disciple them. The pastor said we break them, we rule them, and then teach them. All that is power. Power, thank God, we start borrowed anointing under covering. But we also have to have the borrowed and need the full anointing. So we must not be satisfied with anything less than his likeness. What are we doing? We all keep doing what we're doing already. God is having mercy upon us. We have the anointing, the teaching of our fathers. We follow after, perfecting love by the blood. How many of you have seen the Ramas, the weekly Ramas for this week on excellency in ministry? I need to get those things. My goodness. 1, 2, and 3. Go and read them. That's what you need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. I need to be doing. Amen. It's been laid out precept upon precept, line upon line. Everything is there. Just take those things and begin to do it. And over time, as you do all these things, God will first of all give us a borrowed anointing. But we don't stop there. Don't camp at the borrowed anointing and say, man. Like Jesus is such a wonderful man. He will do a miracle and just walk away. We need to get there. That's what's going to qualify you for the full one. And sit at the anointing and be basking and what, because God raised somebody from the dead through you. Now, what about all those dead that are way out there who have yet to hear anything about Jesus? Who's going to go and talk to them? You, me, and others like us. Amen? We will not let God down in Jesus' name. We will strive not only for the first fruits, borrowed anointing, we will also go on to the fullness of the kingdom. We will not be satisfied with only half kingdom. But we will strive and we'll pray, seek the face of God, fast, everything we're asked to do, until the fullness of the kingdom is ours, to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God, loosing all those that are bound by Satan all over the earth. That is your lot, that is my lot, and we will fulfill it in Jesus' name. Let's ask the Lord to help us. When I saw this, I said, Lord, is it really true that, the borrowed anointing? I said, the borrowed anointing is good, but it's a borrowed anointing. God has laid up an inheritance of the full measure of his anointing for every single one of us. Amen. And his purpose is that every single one for whom he has laid up that full measure anointing enters the anointing. It's not like God to do things in half measure. I've been reading that scripture for years, but it never occurred to me the way it did when we were reading after this fast. And I believe it's a true word of the Lord, and I ask the Lord will confirm it somehow or the other, but I believe it's true, because there's truth in there that cannot be gainsaid. Esther could have stopped and said, well, I'm okay now. The Shushan, the palace is okay. I've got the house of Haman. Mordecai is set. We're fine. But that's not the way God works. I remember Mordecai ended at the end of the book of Esther by saying, Mordecai looked at the wealth of all his people and was speaking peace to them. And the Jews. Yeah. So, the full measure. Lord, may the Lord see fit to trust us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Mercy, grace. Some of the things I've said, like I said, this is not baby milk. But I'm trusting as we begin to meditate upon these things, God will give us a further understanding. The chief thing to know there is this, that God expects us to have a full anointing upon us and not the borrowed only. Thank God for the power. But he expects that you will claim and lay claim by the Spirit to the fullness of our inheritance. And he will send you after the glory into the nations of the earth to demonstrate his wisdom and to loose the captives, set them free, teach them, disciple them, and bring them unto him. Hallelujah. Oh, respond to the word of the Lord that has come tonight. The word that is encouraging us to press on into the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the anointing without measure. Not to be satisfied only with the Lord's anointing, however wonderful, however marvelous that may be. But to remember that there's a whole world out there that is yet to know Christ. And it's a solemn, solemn permission that the Lord has given unto us to go to bring them to Him. Somebody's got to go. It says, go ye into all nations and bring them out of darkness. Bring them out to the house of Him. Bring them out of all the wicked devices that the enemy has bound them with. Just even this morning, I was hearing about what's happening in Iraq, in Syria. Captured another 21 or 30 Christians. I don't know. But in Jesus' name, God help us. And sometimes you see these things, you know, begin to wonder, say, Lord, where are you in all this? You know where He is? He's waiting for us. That's the truth. That is just the truth. He has a people on the face of the earth who are yet to be made manifest. And He's not the one waiting. And He's not the one delaying. It's us. Yes. As soon as He finds that country, He'll download it. And then we begin to see a reversal, first of the house of Haman, over the lives of yourselves individually, and then the nations of the earth will follow suit. Thank God for what He's enabled us to do already. We're just at the blade stage. There's so much more to be done. And Lord, have mercy upon us. Let's respond. Raise a hand to the Lord. Have a heart in our hearts. Have a hand upon our hearts. It's a heart thing. Can the Lord trust your heart with the full measure of the anointing? Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come tonight. And I want You to know that I've heard You with not my ears only, but with my heart. I understand that, Lord, no matter how powerful it is, that the borrowed anointing alone by itself cannot fulfill the Great Commission. I understand from Your word tonight, from the book of Esther, it will take a double portion of two hearts of the kingdom to make the full measure of the anointing. I will release all the Jews in all the provinces all over the earth. I will cause this gospel of the kingdom to be preached throughout all nations for a witness. I understand also that all power has been given unto the Lord Jesus, and that power has been made available to me, all of us, in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I say, Lord, help me, so that, Lord, I will not dwell in my comfort zone. I will not, Lord God, be at rest when kings ought to be in battle. And I understand now that not only am I to have the half kingdom anointing, but by the full kingdom anointing, having overcome the house of Haman in my life, and having lordship under covering over all the wiles of the wicked one, for myself and my Jerusalem and Judea personally, I set my face as a flint to press on, forgetting the things past, to the prize of the might, of the high calling, of the fullness, of the measure, of the stature of Christ, to receive the full anointing with which I will free the nations of the earth and bring them to You. I will go out of my Judea. I will go out of my Jerusalem unto Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, as You send me after the glory. I thank You for the privilege of being an instrument in Your hands to bring the Jews of the earth back to You, even all those whom You have marked as Your own. Thank You, Heavenly Father, because I will not rest until I fulfill my destiny and prophetic purpose in this regard. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, Baraka took a socrete. Nele Sorukubaka, Shitumbana, Baya, Lakasa, Hanibe Zempe, Lakutaka, Risa, Karo, Sende,
Children, that's what the children have to duck under. Lord, give us understanding. Say, Father.